Do you know why we say the Hail Mary first before the sermon? We started that a number of years ago because St. Louis de Montfort recommends it for many reasons indeed, that the preacher be inspired well to preach the word of God and that the hearers be inspired to listen, to receive it, and to bring forth fruit in due time. The Hail Mary, which the fathers call the angelic salutation, we probably have no idea in this world of its powers, but some idea I think may have been given. I received an interesting email from the brother of a priest yesterday about an execution, a federal execution that took place in Iowa on Friday. It was a boy, he must have been a Catholic boy, who grew up bad and ended up being sort of a meth king and had developed a perfect recipe for that particular drug and had a drug empire and killed five people in order to protect it. Well, finally, after years, he was put to death on Friday. And what were his last words? His last words were some memory from the Hail Mary. "Hail Mary," he said, "Mother of God, pray for me." What a beautiful thing that in this, as we say, day and age, that someone should still remember that prayer that does open up heaven by Our Lady's intercession. This is a free translation of the collect, chief prayer of today's Mass, from the Latin. O God, whose providential planning never fails, humbly we beg thee, put away from us all harmful things and hand over to us those things that help us. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The other Sunday, the fifth after Pentecost, we learned used to be called Brotherhood Sunday, and this past week it was Precious Blood Sunday. How would you name the seventh Sunday after Pentecost? Well, one internet writer recently suggested you could call it Fruit Sunday, and I'm thinking too the possibility might be Freedom Sunday. But Fruit Sunday for the metaphor used both by our Blessed Savior and the great St. Paul in the Gospel and in the Epistle today. Our Lord warns of false prophets, tells us how to recognize these wolves beneath their sheepskin. By their fruits shall you know them, but you all know the drill. In the Epistle, St. Paul speaks to the still shaky converts from pagan Rome, and to think that Rome has lapsed into paganism again. The epistle at first glance seems another one of those inscrutable summer epistles, St. Paul. But he's talking about fruit, the fruit harvest, in effect. How slaves harvest the fruit for the masters, all according to the flesh, and that's sin, and sin leads to death, and the salary you get out of it is soon spent in satisfaction, and then it's gone. But when you serve, not just say, but serve our Lord, 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 the gospel, why then, the fruit is holiness, which leads to everlasting life. This is Monsignor Knox's translation of the epistle, and I think it's helpful. Brethren, I am speaking the language of common life because nature is still strong in you. Just as you once made over your natural powers as slaves to impurity and wickedness, till all was wickedness, you must now make over your natural powers as slaves to right doing till all is sanctified. At the time when you were slaves of sin, right doing had no claim on you. But what harvest were you then reaping from acts which now make you blush? Their reward is death. Now that you are free from the claims of sin and have become God's slaves instead, you have a harvest in sanctification. and your reward is eternal life. Sin offers death for wages. God offers eternal life as a free gift in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Have you noticed how no one talks about freedom anymore? Let freedom ring is silenced, along with the singing in churches, silenced by the communists in California. You know, the communists forbade the ringing of bells at church services. In Russia, China, they go so far as to take down the towers and the crosses over the churches. But now, everything is racism and destruction. Reparations, the plural, but not reparation, the singular. Everything's hatred. There's no charity. There's a heaviness which hangs about the land anymore. Laws and mandates and regulations, almost Talmudic in their oppressive detail. Orders and masks and COVID closings. As our Lord said of the Pharisees of old, heavy and insupportable burdens, and they never lift a finger to lighten them. They used to prate on about false freedom and even against, especially against, the natural law, that sense of right and wrong with which we are born, everyone throughout the world. But while they were doing that, they, the Marxists, were forging our chains. The establishment of education and the media and SCOTUS and POTUS with all of their hocus pocus. The establishment. Because freedom is for something. It's not from something. Free to serve the living God, not free from his living law and revelation, which is our dignity and our destiny. So that's all gone. And society now serves to mold slaves to sin, enslaved to the law. All that talk, you know, back when, a generation or two ago, about civil rights, that was just revolutionary fodder from communism. And now, babies, and now the old folk, have no right to life, like slaves in ancient pagan Rome. So are people in so many places throughout the world today. But it wasn't that way in the American South before the Civil War. There's no right to life itself, our dignity and our freedom to worship God. Why, they won't even let you breathe the air freely when you go outside. In the epistle, there's St. Paul. And you know, as our Lord was a little bit humorous, the examples he chose in his use of irony, St. Paul is beyond ironic. At times he seems a little sarcastic, but that's because of his holy zeal. You see that in his epistles. There's an edge, a little bit of suspicion on his part as a former Jew, being not quite sure that those Gentile converts are going to be able to make the mark. But that's just human nature, actually. He's wondering, how are they ever going to live up to their baptism and to the glories of Christianity, our freedom? Our saints excel in that. Saint Gertrude the Great is the saint of holy liberty, and the little flower, Saint Therese, as well. That's the free to justice part you saw in today's epistle. The idea would be, well, they're Gentiles, they were pagans. You really couldn't expect much more of them, could you? So the thing is that the best they could do, St. Paul says, is to embrace arrival slavery. Because that's how people act. That's how people react. Our masters know this. People don't, because people don't think or pray. There is an instinct, a herd instinct, and sometimes it's stampede. Now, mankind has never improved in all of those centuries since St. Paul. Remember, human history is not an evolution. It is not true to say I'm getting better, we're getting better every day in every way. No. The technical improvements, the creature comforts. Now we are on our way to a sophisticated slavery and to live with or to be ruled by robots, I suppose, in time. And all of this covers over the decay or the falling away from God, which is our freedom. And freedom, remember, is for God. Let me alone that I may keep his law. Let me alone to go into the desert to worship the Lord God. Not from God, but to him. So, after the Protestant Revolution, Almighty God raised up a great preacher, St. Louis de Montfort, late 17th, early 18th century, to propose and to preach to the slaves of sin of his day to be slaves instead of Jesus through Mary. And that is freedom. The media, led by the New York Times a couple of years ago, declared that all of American history was to be recast and represented as the story of an oppressive slavery. Well, slavery is the story of human history and of current events as well. That's why St. Paul is on the mark. And quite relevant, his doctrine, crucial. His epistles are worth another look and some quiet, prayerful consideration. That's why we print them out and give them to you in an odd moment during Mass or before you leave church. You might want to read it over again to pray a bit about it. What do you think St. Paul would have to say about Christians, free men, who choose slavery instead, sin, slavery to servitude in such a society as ours. Free men who opt for chains. So it is all about freedom, isn't it? That I want to do what I want to do, that we've had for several generations now, why that lasts until fear, and fear engenders panic, and fear slips in to change the chains, but not to take them away. People panicked, and a few months ago started to believe anything at all. Remember, they told us, you've probably forgotten the phrase by now, but that's the point, well, let's all stay home and we'll flatten the curve. What happened with that one? Now sometimes it's weeks or it's months, and you've got to wear those face diapers, and you're not really meant to be breathing the fresh air anymore if you want to go to Kroger's or Sam's or do some shopping. And what do they promise you? Some period of time you'll soon forget about. Like slaves going back to their chains, most people in America, if you can believe the media, of course you can't, but if you could believe them, they tell you that most people in America want the chains of Massa for security. What fear does. I wish people, though, had a little scintilla. You know the truth about masks and how a mask cannot really protect you because the little tiny globules of virus can get right through the material with which the mask is made. Well, one little tiny globule of the fear of hell. I wish it would get through the masks, spiritual in nature, which people wear. How much good it would do to get souls to heaven. On July 13th, 1917, the Mother of God showed three shepherd children at Fatima a terrifying picture of hell, not to make people think, well, I guess I'm just going there, so why should I bother? That is a lie of Satan, which some heretic Catholics tell. No, rather, save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those most in need of thy mercy. Our Lady said, people go to hell, souls are lost, because they have no one to pray for them. That's my job, but that's your job as well. So, just this past Friday, that sinner, in his last moment, turned to Mary. He remembered, as I say, some jumbled words of that angelic salutation he would have learned as a little child, and he blurted out, Hail Mary, Mother of God, pray for me. That's a Theresian, a Saint Therese sort of miracle story. And that's the point of God's providence. Today traditionally is known as Providence Sunday. Only God has the right, some writer used the phrase, to set up and to maintain a cosmic chessboard, moving the pieces about to bring about his plan of salvation, not damnation, for the empire of the precious blood, as Father Faber would say. Almighty God can and does use evil, the evil which we, or Satan, bring in by the misuse of our freedom and of our free will. He does not violate the gift of free will, nor take it away, even as he does not will and does not cause evil. The thought would be a blasphemy. He allows it, though, because of the gift. He has to, but his providence is ever present. He is our Father to catch us, this loving dad, when we fall, and help us to make some sense out of those stumbles, to some way as we get up to learn a little bit more of humility and show a little bit more of trust in God, the wonderful God whom we adore. Thus we pray, take away everything harmful, and the Concedia means literally hand over to us thy help, because we can only bear fruit in freedom, good fruit, by God's grace. That's a free gift. Heaven, finally, is not earned. Saint Therese would love this. But it is the fruit of God's freedom working with our own, the plan of divine providence, the payment package, if you will, for the slaves of Jesus through Mary. Holiness, life in Christ, which starts here and never, ever ends. And so we pray, each one of us, really all day, in moments of need or when we remember, some snatches of an old prayer, some favorite aspiration. And St. Bernadette, who saw the Mother of God, St. Bernadette prayed, pray for us poor sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.